Alright, greetings to all you carbon-based bipeds. Nice to be talking with you here on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Papasi, of course. Bill Newell, always in the wings with some stuff coming up tomorrow with the Salem News sports writers. But we have another pretty full program here this evening. We're going to start off with the Gloucester High School Director of Athletics, Brian LaFada, who will bring us up to speed on what's going on up there at Gloucester High School as we transition from fall two back to spring one, I guess. And then we'll be checking with Gary Larrabee later on. Gary covering the Masters tournament, been down there many times, down to Augusta National, and that was quite an amazing tournament, and weird turns of events there. So Gary will be talking with Tim about that, of course, I'm sure. John Cadigan, the Winthrop High School football coach, will be by talking about the amazing season that the Vikings are having and the great game they had against Gloucester last week. And we'll also be talking with Mike Grenier, get some updates from him about the Celtics and any other thing that he wants to mention. And I'm going to start off by congratulating UMass winning the NCAA National Hockey Championship in Division I. Pretty cool stuff. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, Rick. And yeah, congratulations to you, Matt. And that wasn't just a victory. That was a thumping.
I'm surprised at that. That was, you know, 5-0 after the other close games that they had in the tournament. Yeah, that was a little surprise.
Yeah, but I mean, it was great to see. Every time I turned it back on, they were up by another goal. So I said, okay, I'm going to keep this streak going. So I kept, you know, channel surfing, go back, they'd be up another goal. And I go, okay, I'll be back. So,
well, I did that yesterday with the Bruins, but it was in the other direction.
Yeah, yeah, I'll certainly give you that one. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was horrible. But they did make a trade, come up with Taylor Hall. We'll see how that works out. It could be a good one. Could be a really good one. Could be a bust. But they didn't have to give up a lot for that, presumably. Julian Edelman retiring from the Patriots, not a surprise there.
No, really, really not. You know, You had to get a sense that the cards were going to be dealt that way when he just wasn't making any kind of progress with his knees, and there was never any bad news, but there was never any good news either. And the longer that good news didn't come out, the more you had to figure that something might be done. It's too bad they didn't simply announce the retirement first, because you know, it first came out as the Patriots had voided his, terminated his contract, and the first thing is like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What are you doing? Well, how cold-blooded was this? And it was now just a prelude to his retirement.
Yeah.
So I wish they had done the retirement first and then done the termination.
Yeah, well, you know, for a supposedly classy organization, sometimes they don't come across as so classy.
Well, you know, the media said that there was the statement by both Belichick and Kraft was extremely well done. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know, I hope they managed to bring him back as a coach. You know, I think that would.
I don't know.
Who better to teach, you know, young slot receivers how to play the slot?
You know, then a quarterback, a former quarterback. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know if they have back option.
Yeah. So. No, you know, as I said, it's not a surprise. It had to happen, and I'm glad he's leaving with his wits about him, because man, he, like Wes Welker and Troy Brown before him, man, they took some jolts over the middle there.
Well, you know, it's funny. I said this in the media. I said, you know, he took a beating going over the middle all for his entire career. You know, and you know, he went places where bigger guys didn't dare to go.
Yeah, no, that's
and
right.
He always, you know, more than often than not, he came up with the big catch, something bigger than the one in the Super Bowl that you know kept the kept the possession.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
and that's going to go down as one of the all-time
oh, yeah.
greatest Super Bowl catches.
Well, the other thing, Tim, is his humanitarianism and his social awareness and his class. I mean, he reached out to was an Atlanta Falcon who said some trash talk about, I don't know if it was Judaism or whatever it was, but Edelman reached out to him and offered to meet with him and talk with him. And I guess they had a meeting of the minds over social media. And Edelman's done that more than once.
Yeah, he has a sensitivity to him, and a common sense to him. You know, he didn't go overboard. He didn't get all out of sorts. He said, you know, let me talk to you about this.
Yeah, yeah.
As the way you'd expect a grown man to
yeah.
do it.
Yep.
So, I hope he just hangs around the neighborhood for a long time, because he's never going to have to buy a beer. He's never going to have to buy a.
That's right.
You know, going to have to buy a dinner anywhere, and he's earned it, and he has earned it.
Well, I'm looking forward to the reunion when Gronk and Brady come back up here for all the retirement ceremonies as well, but. Yeah, Edelman, one of the all-time greats for the Patriots, and great. As I said, great to see him retiring when he's still in half decent shape. I'd hate to see him get in worse physical condition. So
yeah, and again, that's what I said to me. I said he's going to be able to at least walk away from the game.
Exactly, exactly.
Bad knees and all, but he'll be able to walk away.
All right, coming up, we'll be talking with the Gloucester Director of Athletics, Brian LaFada, among others here this evening. It is, it's been a weird day today. We've had, yesterday was summer. It was 72 degrees. Today it's 42 degrees. And we've gone back to sort of, mid-November, temperatures. And who knows what tomorrow's gonna bring. Baseball coming up, in the Northeastern Conference here.
Rick, that sounds like a song.
Yeah, really. It's incredible. I mean, you know. And, we get three sports seasons going here at once because, football is opening up for the Greater Boston League. Football is closing for the NEC, and baseball is opening up. I don't even know where I am. We'll talk to Brian about that in a few minutes. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. Thank you for being with us, and spread the word. You can let us know what you think at MSONewsSports@gmail.com. Be right back.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right, we're back now with the Gloucester Director of Athletics, Gloucester High School's Brian LaFada. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you doing in this lovely November, April day?
Not too bad. At least it's dry outside. Sun's still out, or it's still daylight. I'm watching the softball team wrap up a little preseason work.
So my God. Well, you had everything today with the mist out there. It was in the 40s. It's just crazy. You got football. You got the spring sports coming up. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I think where I'll start, Brian, is the success of Fall 2 sports. I would like to start there because I think, all things being equal, what the athletic directors have done across the North Shore, not just the Northeastern Conference, but the Catholic Conference, the Cape Ann League, everybody involved, you know, right on down to Lynn. They're in a little different time frame than we are. But you guys have done such an amazing job, and maybe you could give me a little bit of feel about how Fall 2 has gone so far from your perspective.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we, all of us athletic directors have been working hard, putting in the extra hours, but it's well worth it being able to see the student athletes get out there. And now that we're starting to get, families, a little bit more, some more spectators, typically away fans can start showing up now is great. But as far as Fall 2 goes, all in all, it's been a success. Myself personally at Gloucester, I'm a little more fortunate. I don't have as many sports going on right now. I do have football, indoor track and field, which obviously primarily takes place outdoors, and our cheer season, our cheer team's getting ready to do a virtual competition. We don't have volleyball here, where I know a lot of the other schools, that is one of the sports that are still indoors, probably the last one of the year, and so they deal with that. But for the sports I'm dealing with, things have gone relatively well. We had a brief little shutdown with our football team, our JV team. But other than that, things, as I said, have gone well. The weather's pretty much cooperated, considering, and can't complain.
Tim?
I don't really have anything, Rick. Brian and I talked the end of last week. So I do. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good, bud. How about you?
Good. I guess the we can't talk many things. Spring sports. The end of last week when I dropped by the office. I guess it's getting the spring sports going. The length of schedule, the format of the playoff. How many teams are going to be in the playoffs, and how long do they think that playoff run will last?
As far as the playoffs go, as far as our understanding as athletic directors is it's an open format. So teams have the ability to opt in or opt out of the state tournament. It doesn't depend on your record. Again, that's what we're understanding at this point. we're dealing with a lot of the scheduling issues right now, why I'm here a little bit later in the office. We're all dealing with having a season start so much later. We now have a lot of other school activities involved during the spring season, such as your graduations, all your academic awards nights and everything. So we're all trying to juggle all of that so the student athletes can still be part of any of those activities, whether virtual or in person. But we're getting through it. As far as the tournament, though, it also, they say it should be wrapped up by July 3rd, I believe, as far as a state championship for those sports such as baseball, softball, and the lacrosses. We don't have a lot of details yet still on how the tennis or outdoor track and field, if there will be any sort of postseason or anything. Most of it's come out in regard to the team sports such as, like I said, lacrosse, baseball, softball.
Brian, I want to ask you a question about your position in terms of letters of reference or that kind of thing and for seniors, because last year, excuse me, this thing was such a mess beginning in March and nobody knew what was going to happen from week to week. And it hasn't all changed all that much, except there's been a little bit of a settling in. And, you know, seniors, I don't know how often they come to the athletic director, but I know that formally or informally they'll be talking with you about what to do next year. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with sports, but obviously that, you know, that would be a major concern. They might want to see, you know, where do I fit in? And you talk with coaches, you talk with athletic directors up and down the line, you probably talk with colleges. How has that been effective in terms of that responsibility for you, Brian? Going back to last spring with your seniors and now this year with your seniors, What has changed, or what's the same in terms of your advice to those seniors and maybe your contacts or pushing them on to some school?
At this point, I really don't think there's been too much of a change in relation to my job with it. I do have a lot of student athletes come in and start inquiring, especially, say, some juniors, even some sophomores that are a little bit more ambitious. But some of the juniors over the past few months have come into me and asked me about their specific sports or looking at schools or what they should do. And we have a great guidance department here that I defer to a lot when it comes to that. I always tell them that sports is secondary. Obviously, I hope we have as many players possible at the next level. But yeah, it all starts with making sure you're getting the right fit for a school. or as far as size-wise, program or area of study, geographic location. There's so many factors, and so for me, it's been roughly the same because I'm just telling them to try and do all their due diligence and as much research as possible. It has been tough up until recently, sometimes when campuses weren't open for tours or anything of that sort. So when you tell them to try and take advantage of taking those tours on campus and get a look at the various colleges and universities, that's been a little bit more difficult for them. But definitely in regard to my position, once in a while I'll get a letter of recommendation request, not too often. I used to get a lot more when I was the actual baseball coach.
Right.
So a lot of my players would come to me for that. As far as the athletic director now, they don't look for that too often. They go directly more to their coach.
Well, let me interject here and ask you about that, because you've got some really young head coaches on your staff. Do they come to you with questions about that stuff?
They do, yeah, occasionally. A lot of them, I mean, we do have some young coaches, but they are experienced. They were college athletes, so they've gone through the process even that way. So they know the steps that need to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, I mean, they know I have an open-door policy anytime. They can text me at any point, any questions that I can help them along the way and where I might have any expertise in that. Or if I don't, I try and guide them in the right direction. But, yeah, most of our coaches do have a good grasp, even with their relatively inexperience at maybe the head coaching position. They are familiar with the recruiting process.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. So, you know, when you guys get together as athletic directors, I don't know how often you do that. How often do you guys – have you obviously been meeting virtually. How often does that happen?
We do go about once a month.
Okay.
There were times – different points of the year when what was difficult this year is going to four seasons really crammed things together. There wasn't much of a little bit of a breather between seasons where you make sure you got all your ducks in a row. It was basically, okay, a season just ended and on Sunday, and then tomorrow morning is the start of the next season.
Yeah, right.
We do meet once a month, all the time. We actually have been socially distant meeting at Beverly High School. Dan Keith, the athletic director, has been kind to have us come in there. We've done that for a few months now. Initially, it was all virtual. We do have, with things changing by the day, guidelines, protocols, various things that might come up for specific sports, we might throw together a quick Zoom and say, hey, let's get together and quickly discuss this instead of trying to drive someplace. But for us, it's nice to be able to see each other and bounce ideas off of one another as we discuss things in person, just to kind of get out of our offices that we're in most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got out to the football field today, finally. I went out to Peabody. And is there a topic when you guys get together, and I use that term loosely, when the ADs get together, because it's not just guys, and I apologize for that, but when the ADs get together, is there a topic or a subject or something that comes up where you guys and gals all sort of nod your heads together and say, yep, that's exactly correct? And it could be, you know, something to do with COVID or something to do with scheduling, but or something to do with, okay, we've all managed to figure this little point out, so it's been good. In other words, some topic of consensus and agreement where, okay, yeah, this has worked.
I feel like that happens a lot, to be honest with you.
Good.
Being in this role for 3 years now, I did learn early on is to use other ADs as resources and bounce ideas off of them. And it was always amazing if I went to a couple different ADs looking for some recommendations, how similar they typically were.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody brings up, hey, at this game I had this situation happen. How did you guys handle this? And then four or five other ADs, as you said, kind of nod their head, yep, I dealt with that. I don't know if there's anything specific I can think of that's, I just feel like sometimes there are little situations of academic issues with student-athletes. How do you handle this?
Okay, yeah.
Maybe playing time conflicts where they've escalated it and gone up the ladder instead of just dealing with the coach, that all of a sudden they're bringing in the athletic director or trying to come up, go up to the administration. And right now everything is about how we work with our local administration, Department of Public Health, our school committees. I think in the past 12 months, we've had so much more interaction than usual with our school committees, our mayors, our public health directors than we ever did. So we all kind of bounce those ideas in, or what happens with you at these meetings or those meetings. So that's the big thing that I would say.
Yeah, well, I'm nodding my head as you say that. I love that. Tim, you got anything that you want to share with us that you and Brian mentioned the other day that might be of value?
Well, one of the things, he mentioned the guidance office, and I just wanted to give out kudos to the head of the guidance department, who was a former jock herself at Endicott College, who's an assistant coach there, Laura Carlson. And that has to be such an edge, Brian, dealing with Laura because of her own personal knowledge and experience of dealing with the collegiate experience.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm very fortunate to have Laura here as an administrator and the head of the guidance department. Since I started day one, she's always been a huge help for me, and just her athletic background, plus her general knowledge of anything for kids getting admitted to schools and the best path to take. So I'm in contact with Laura constantly. And then she's, because she's interested, she'll come down and we'll talk about sports. She'll say, oh, I saw this on the social media account. This game happened here or that. Or she knows some of the other local schools. So she'll have, being a specifically more a softball person, she knows about the softball programs in the area and the players. And so it's great to bounce those things off of her. And, but as well, like I said, she's just a great resource for me, because she knows I'm primarily working with student athletes looking at the next level. So she has a great grasp of that.
That's awesome. Great question, Tim. Glad you brought that up. I know Coach Carlson too. And yeah, she's something else. Brian, the participation in terms of numbers of kids this year, how's that gone?
I would say we're down slightly. It's always tough to tell. It's so cyclical anyways. Some of our higher, our upper classes, juniors and seniors, we have a little bit lower enrollment numbers in the school altogether. We do have some higher freshmen and sophomore total class numbers, so that's helping a little bit. But I have seen and heard from various individuals or families that have held out because of any concerns with COVID with their specific sports, maybe during the indoor season. So they are slightly down some. Hopefully, as the coaches, we start to get back to some normalcy, are able to get out there and pound the pavement and talk to more of the athletes and get them out there. We're really trying to work every season as we're 2 weeks away, actually, from today, start the spring season.
Yeah.
Is we I start running reports for all the coaches on athletes that might have been in another program. So say maybe, for example, Coach Derek Geary and the ice hockey team. And I might run a report and says, hey, we got 15 kids that played ice hockey that do not play any other sport during this time of year. Let's reach out to them, and I'll send it off to the coaches of the upcoming season, but also Coach Geary to keep him involved and trying to get more of our coaches working together from season to season to boost our participation. This isn't, unfortunately, as you both know, Gloucester's not the same size as it was years ago. And we really can't afford to have the single sport athletes around here. We need more multi-sport, two and three sport. And even this year, we do have a couple on record of going to be four sport athletes during this rare time. So that's a big thing for us, definitely.
Tremendous. Tim, any final thoughts for Brian?
No. We had a great conversation as we always do about all things sports, Gloss related, and the conference. We both had a long attachment to it as coaches. Brian, I just want to continue to again, best of luck in the AD's chair. I know it's something that I think you've been preparing a long time for, and Gloucester, and I talked to a number of people, are so glad you are sitting in that chair right now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been fun, been rewarding for 3 years. Look forward to hopefully doing it a lot longer. Hopefully not too many more challenging years like this year, it's definitely fun.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. My final thought is that Winthrop-Gloucester football game, man, that's a rivalry that has been renewed, and what a great game.
Yeah, that was a great game. Coach Cadigan and Winthrop, I tell you what, that program, and I was trying to pick Matt Serino's brain that night, is just the numbers they have over there. They're very well disciplined, very well organized, and it was impressive watching them and then coming out to a quick 21-0 lead. I was very happy with our kids, the way they came back. They could have easily just rolled over at that point there and just let it go, but then to make it a one-score game and actually have a chance late in the game, to have a chance to tie it was impressive. So on both sides, it was fun and exciting. People loved being at the game. The few spectators we were allowed to have, it was good to have a few Viking fans there, but definitely the Fisherman family fans.
Yeah, it's getting, and it's getting.
Well, last thing, real quick, are Danny's numbers back up from the 15 that he had against Salem?
Yes, he definitely is. Thankfully, we do have a few more injuries here and there. It's like a typical football season where it starts to wear on you a little bit. But yeah, that Salem game was definitely one to remember for the ages,
yeah.
Right there. When looking on the video and just seeing three or four kids on the sideline as your entire bench was definitely an odd situation that I hope we don't have to do again.
Brian, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for taking care of us at MSO. I can't thank you enough for all that you do. And we will be back up there in that press box in September. I can guarantee that. But in the meantime, stay safe. We'll talk to you later on about spring sports.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. That's Brian LaFada, who is the athletic director. Director of Athletics. He's also very athletic himself, athletic director at Gloucester High School and a former baseball coach and doing a super job. Next up, we mentioned John Cadigan, who was the Winthrop High School football coach. We'll be chatting with him after Gary Larrabee. Gary is next up. We'll take a break. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky. Stand by.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Oh, these things go faster than I can even imagine. Gary Larrabee is with us right now. Gary, of course, golf writer, sports historian, all-around good guy. And, Tim, I don't know if Tim's back or not. He should be here in a second. But
I'm here. Be careful what you say.
Well, we need red lighters. I know. I know. Good Lord, what a tournament, Gary.
Yes, but from my perspective, Rick, it was one of the most boring final rounds of the Masters I can recall ever watching. Some pretty bland personalities out there. Hideki Matsuyama, the eventual winner, has no personality whatsoever on the golf course, but he led all the way and he hung on. But the only real excitement in the whole day was on the 15th hole, guys, when Matsuyama hit over too much club over the green, over the pond, and then into that pond that's behind the 15th green, and is part of the par 3 16th hole. He made bogey, and his playing partner, Xander Schauffele, made birdie, so there was a two-shot swing there, and that's about as close as it got. He was still leading by two, and of course, it worked out very nicely for Hideki Matsuyama, who's a very worthy champion, I should note, Tim. But, boy, not too much pizzazz in that last round yesterday. Very disappointing to me. But a worthy champion.
You know, Gary, I have to say, last week when we were talking, when you asked me, you know, who did I think was going to win, he was actually my first thought, and I'm going, you know, but, you know, as I say, I'll go with Dustin Johnson. But I guess I did have a feeling last week that maybe he was the guy. I mean, it was interesting to see how bland he is. I was reading a short piece about him, and he's very shy to the press. He doesn't have a lot to say. Like you said, you know, he's more vanilla than vanilla. You know, if that's possible, but that vanilla probably helps him weather the storm of the Masters.
Well, he has a I guess so. And Chris has a beautiful swing. He's been around a long time. He's won 8 or 9 PGA Tour events. He's contended in some other majors, but never won one. But now we have the first Masters champion from Japan. And I think they're probably still dancing in the streets in Tokyo and any place else where they play some golf over there in Japan. We did have one nice discovery, though, yesterday, guys. And that was the second place finisher, Will Zalatoris, who finished top 10 in the U.S. Open at Wingfoot last September. And he qualified for this Masters, and he's only 24 years old. He was the only player to shoot 4 rounds under par. And he's another, I think he's now an up-and-comer. We'll see if he can keep it going. But for a major, guys, it was pretty boring and very disappointed that all of our big names, almost yep. virtually all of our big names, didn't do anything, and most of them missed the cut.
Yeah.
Disappointing. Well,
I always thought I thought the best story coming out of there was how Rory McIlroy managed to pick his father out of the crowd and hit him with a golf ball.
Yeah, that's true.
There is skill you don't see every day.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And of course, mentioning McIlroy, one of the big names who did not make the cut, along with defending champion Dustin Johnson, and most of the other big names did not make the cut either. But it was interesting also, Tim, the way the winning score was 10 under par last fall when Johnson won. It was 20 under par. So I think they had a mission to accomplish this week, and that was to keep the scores higher than last year. And they certainly achieved that with a 10 under score winning the tournament, not 20 under par like Dustin Johnson did last fall.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about Matsuyama celebrating. I guess the prime minister was leading the cheers for him. And I can imagine he'll get some good ribbing from the Japanese women golfers who have taken a number of tournament titles and big titles as well, saying, okay, what took you so long?
Well,
just lighting him up.
Yeah, he is a seasoned veteran. He's won several times on the tour. He's a terrific swing. No one was really surprised that he won yesterday. But just for clarification, we've had one other Asian player who has won a major. Do you know who that is, Tim?
On the men's side.
Yeah.
He beat
Tiger. He beat Tiger in the PGA Championship.
Aoki.
Not Seo Aoki, no. I can't even remember his name, but this is the second Asian player to win a major, and it may very well not be his last.
Gary, the Globe made a big deal about the rain delay and changing the whole complexion of the tournament. What do you make of that?
No, it was, I don't think it was that big a deal. I mean, we were talking about Saturday, not Sunday. The rain helped some of the players. It didn't help others, but everybody had a chance to catch this guy yesterday. He only shot 73, cause he shot 65 on Saturday, which really set him up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the golf course always plays easier after it's rained. But I was looking for someone else to make a move, and no one else really made a serious run yesterday at Matsuyama. And But nice to see Will Zalatoris finish second, and another great name, Xander Schauffele, finishes third with Jordan Spieth at 7 under. Justin Rose, the leader of the first 2 days, finishes 5 under. And congratulations to Phil Mickelson and Jose Maria Olazabal, who made the cut. Both couple of old timers. Mickelson's 50. Olazabal is 55, and they both made the cut. Good for them.
Yeah, there are always the older guys that do manage to make it going, just to keep the young guys honest. You know, Gary, I was looking through the last round scores, and I'll tell you, there were only a handful of guys shot under 70 in that final round, and they really weren't close enough to put a dent into Matsuyama's lead. So even though he shot a 73, he was over par. Zalatoris had a 70 and again made it close. But nobody else, like I said, nobody else challenged him.
No, and John Rahm, I think he shot 66. He was the low scorer of the day, but he was too far back to make a run. The first major of the year is in the books, guys, and let's just hope that there's a little more excitement at the U.S. Open in June out in San Diego than we had yesterday.
Well, if not, there'll be excitement locally, I'm sure. What's coming up in the Salem News this weekend, Gare?
I'm not sure. I'm going to keep it a secret.
Okay.
Thankfully, we're still golfing, and there's been no crazy snows in April, and it's going to be a cool week, but the grass is coming up, and the greens are handling the weather pretty good, and this week the tour is at, I think, Sea Island Plantation in the Carolinas, and let's see who steps up this speed. Right now, we have to wait for a long time till we get to the U.S. Open. 2 months.
All right. So
we do have the PGA Championship next month, though. We shouldn't forget the PGA, the Kiawah Island.
Locally, with the weather and the conditions the courses are in, guys are flocking out to the courses.
Yeah, I would guess so. A little bit of news I picked up on, and Josh Sala from Gloucester, who's been trying to make it as a playing professional, particularly over in the Asian continent, has decided to give it up and to get a real job and give up on trying to make it as a playing golf professional. He's home and he's staying home, and we wish Josh all the best. He'll probably be playing competitively in the local scene, but no more trips to Asia for Josh Sala.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Gary, and letting us know. He's a really, really great guy, great kid, good athlete, and an all-around nice guy. Too bad. But whatever he does, I can guarantee you he's going to do it well and be successful at it from here on.
Wish him the very best.
Absolutely. Gary, wish you the very best, too. Stay safe this week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Gary. Take care.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
That's Gary Larrabee, who is a sports writer, a sports historian, and golf writer, too. Yep.
If I may interrupt, next Monday is a holiday. Are you planning on a show?
Well, it's sort of a holiday. It's Patriots Day. I mean, come on.
I just got invited to go to the Red Sox game.
Well, I went to high school in Texas, so I don't know.
I may not be around.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take care of that later on. Thank you for reminding me, Tim.
I'll let you know on that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll check in with the Winthrop High School football coach here on MSO News Sports. Please stay with us.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Did you grow up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home? Were you abused or suffered childhood trauma at the hands of a parent or caregiver? Have you tried self-help or counseling without success? ACA can help. ACA is a 12-step recovery program for adults whose lives were affected as a result of being raised in an alcoholic or dysfunctional family. To find out how others like you have found healing from traumatic childhoods, go to adultchildren.org. That's adultchildren.org.
Righty then, we are back now with Winthrop High School football coach John Cadigan. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, we're doing well. And I just want to talk about the last couple of weeks, man. you guys playing great football. And as we talked about last week, you're taking the road trip to Gloucester, going into Newell Stadium. Turned out to be quite a football game. And yeah, maybe your reflections on that game and how you saw it. I know you took a big lead, and then Gloucester made a bit of a game out of it, and you guys ended up with the win in the end.
Yeah, for first time since 1993 that we've been able to beat Gloucester up in Gloucester. So, any time we've gone up there over the years, it's been a great battle. They had a great program. In terms of how the game went, yeah, we got out to a pretty good lead, 21-0. And in a way, it's kind of a coach's worst nightmare because the high school kids, they kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit. Gloucester, credit to those kids. They're always tough up there, and we knew it wouldn't be easy, and we were pretty right on with that. They came back and really kind of gave us all we could handle.
Well, that it's a good point. I figured who else, another coach I was talking to, the team broke out early. And I know Coach Ingram used to talk about that. That could be a warning sign. You got to be careful when a team scores early. Make sure you do keep your foot on the pedal. But your kids have played so well, Coach, for so long now that you got to be pleased with their efforts. And maybe you could mention some of the kids who look good on film. I know the statistical guys always get the publicity and so on. But when you watch the film today or over the weekend, mention a couple of guys that did the job for you.
Obviously our skill guys get a lot of credit. Dylan Daugherty, our quarterback, Bobby Hubert, our fullback, our running backs, Chris Farrar and Ryan Hubermill. Those guys get a lot of the credit, obviously. But I thought our offensive line did a tremendous job. And watching the film and some of the holes that they opened up for our backs, it was very good up front, I thought. It's led by four out of our five linemen are seniors. Our center, Nick Shea, he's a senior. Our two guards, who in the wing tee are really the MVP of your offense because they're pulling a lot. Matt Hurley and Stevie Perullo, two guards, and our two tackles, Michael Carter and Pete Jurevich, really did a nice job with including our tight end Cam Conway, doing a pretty good job. I mean, Gloucester's front was a typical Gloucester front that you see over the years. Decent size, but definitely tough. And they were very well coached. So it really was a feather in our guys' caps to, do what we did on the ground against a well-coached team like that.
Tim?
Coach, we've talked before, and I've always, mentioned my grand admiration for Winthrop Athletics. Right down the list for being hard-nosed and tough and proud of that uniform that they wear. How much of a difference has your quarterback made for your team? In terms of their overall attitude, because he came from a great program, he came back home to play senior year at Winthrop. What did that mean for you?
I think with Dylan, a lot of the times you look at it, and really there's instant credibility. You talk about coming from Everett, and obviously they've been a premier program in the state for a long time. He was a starting quarterback there for the last 2 years, so I think when he comes in, and our guys always knew him, they grew up with him, they were friendly with him, so they had that type of relationship. But I think, it's no secret, the last couple of years, we've kind of been bouncing around from quarterback to quarterback, and, it's kind of funny, just the first couple of days of practice, and, it sounds crazy, but our guys weren't used to seeing, like, spirals coming from the quarterback, so... they would be clapping, and I I have a smile on my face. I'm like, guys, that's what quarterbacks are supposed to do, those smiles. I know we're not used to it, but, it's just the instant credibility. He's played in quote unquote big games, against other premier programs. So, he's not going to get, he's not going to shy away from the stage. And one of the plays, I think it was our second touchdown pass,
we totally, it was pretty much a busted play. We were trying to go on second cadence, trying to draw Gloucester offside, and we actually snapped the ball early, so our line really wasn't ready. And Gloucester had a rusher right on him, and he was able to shake it off and kind of throw it to the corner of the end zone. But that's just a play that, you know, that Dylan can make because he's, you know, obviously a quality football player.
Coach, you got to be happy with the way the team has played. You guys have dominated. You're 4-0 now. Gloucester scoring the most points than you, which I think is a credit for Gloucester, certainly, but an enigma coming up. Danvers hit by the injury bug, but man, they're a dangerous and a good team.
Yeah, you know, Coach Nolan does a great job over there with Danvers. You know, one thing, and this is kind of, you know, I don't feel that we're a particular big team, obviously. But, you know, you put on the film and you watch Danvers, and they look to be massive, you know, across the board. And, historically, teams like that, you know, try and kind of bully us, and, you know, it's probably the right strategy, you know, with our size and everything. But, you know, Coach Nolan does a great job. They certainly have been hit by the injury bug. They've put a couple of quarterbacks out there. You know, but I was telling our guys this week, you know, you've climbed through, you know, the peak of the mountain right now, and you won the conference, but now everybody's really gunning for you, you know. So how we handle success going forward is really going to be kind of telling for how the rest of our season is going
to
go.
All right, 27-20 over Gloucester. You guys are 4-0, I believe. Yep, 4-0. And you've got Danvers coming up on Friday at 6 o'clock at Miller Field?
Yes.
All right, and I will be getting a hold of Steve Ferullo, so please let him know I will be calling that young man. We got to have him on. And I appreciate all the help you've given us this year so far, John. Thank you.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate the coverage, as always. You guys do a tremendous job. I look forward to hopefully talking to you guys in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good luck this week, and we will talk to you as soon as we can. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, that's John Cadigan, who was the Winthrop High School football coach. And, hey, Tim, it just goes on and on, doesn't it, with Winthrop?
I'll tell you, they the journey is some dirt dogs, and I say that in the most complimentary way fashion.
Absolutely.
I want to have these down and wrestle with, you know, on the dusty field of play, because, you know, they'll bite, scratch, kick,
yep.
Do whatever they have to do.
Kick you, pull your hair. Yeah, we're speaking metaphorically here, but yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll play clean and just whoop you. No, it's always fun to go down to Miller Field too. I was talking earlier this week with Coach Cadigan, or last week, and we were talking about the road trip from hell. And he told me, he said, as an assistant coach, he always used to put the headset on, with his music, and he'd play AC/DC's Highway to Hell on the way to Gloucester.
Yeah. I mean, when I was coaching there at the high school in Gloucester, 2001, 2004, and even when I was doing the JVs in the late 90s, it was. You just referred to it as the road trip to hell, because it was so long to get there. There was no quick way in, quick way out.
Right.
So you knew you were going to be in for a dogfight of a game. And, you know, you really earned a W when you went to Winthrop.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, one more interview to go here. We're going to bring in Mike Grenier here in just a few seconds. We're going to take one more break. This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night. You can hold of us at msonewsports@gmail.com. I'm Rick Moore with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and our Mr. Everything is Bill Newell. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
What a hand lumber, we measure up.
She gets one shot, I get one shot, that's all we need. The Johnson & Johnson, my wife.
Johnson & Johnson, okay, that's, yeah.
I'm getting the Johnson & Johnson. Mike Grenier is talking with us right now. We're talking about getting those shots as we are back live here. And, I'm excited because my daughter is back in Philadelphia, back in school, and she will be getting the Johnson & Johnson tomorrow. And that completes my family and relatives everywhere. So it's very exciting. It really is, you know.
It's great. Younger people are starting to be eligible for it now.
Oh, God, yeah. We got to make. So, Mike, listen, I got to – the last thing – Tim, are you there? I don't have a button. Are you there?
Yes,
okay.
Rick.
Okay. Well, you know, we got to
come with
it. You know what those clickers? Remember those clickers on D-Day? Click, 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 click. We got to get you one of those so I'll know that you're back.
Mike, yes. He calls me every week and he goes, I answer the phone and he goes, you there?
Yeah.
Well.
Who else is there, right?
Okay,
exactly.
Okay, so you're ganging up on me. All right, way to go, Mike. I'm going to remember this. Don't worry about it, but I'll remember it. So.
Hey, let's talk. Want to talk basketball?
Yeah, I do. But listen, the Jason Tatum thing. I was listening to Shaughnessy called it Nitwit Radio, and I'm listening to it I don't listen to it anymore. But I'm channel hopping on my radio today, and for about 30 seconds they were ranting and raving because Jason Tatum said, "Well, it was great to get the 50 points and a win," instead of saying it was great to get the win and the 50
points. Yeah, you reversed it a little bit. I saw that quote as well.
I know, but they're going ballistic over it. The kid's 22, 23 years old. It's a whole different environment now.
Yep.
And you know, I read the quote a week ago, two or three days ago, when it was in the Globe, and it's like, who cares? Good for Tatum. But
yeah.
We'll get back to that in a second. My lasting impression from this weekend is not the 53 that he scored. It's not the overtime comeback. It's not the overtime comeback the other day. It's watching Robert Williams block a shot twice in one attempt. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, we've been mentioning him the last few weeks as an up-and-coming player, and I think, Tim, you would agree as well. Like Tim said, he plays taller than his actual size. The thing that I love about him is his natural athleticism, meaning the reason he can block two shots at a time or within a couple of seconds is because he's so quick off his feet. That's the thing I noticed about him both offensively and defensively that I love about him. Sometimes he looks out of position and he can block a shot. Sometimes on the offensive end, he doesn't look to be in position to take an alley-oop pass, but his athleticism is so extraordinary that a guy can throw a ball a little bit out of the way, and he still goes up and gets it and dunks it.
And what about his passing? His passing is off the charts.
People have noted his passing. He might be the best passer. Well, Marcus Smart is a very good passer, and he's been doing it for longer. So I have to give Robert Williams a little more time. But Robert Williams has also shown guys a thing I was concerned with earlier season. Could he make any shots other than dunking the ball on an alley-oop? And I've seen some games where he's hitting like a 10, 12-foot baseline shot or just in front of the foul line, a line drive jumper type of thing. That's very promising when you can see that guy, as young as he is, start to develop an offensive game. He's shooting like 72% on the floor for the season, and most of those have been dunks. However, what do we care? If the ball goes in the hoop at 72% rate, that's good for the Celtics and good for the good for the team.
Mike, you know, I don't care if he hit a 12-foot jump shot, that he can play as big and as strong as he does underneath the basket, and he loves being down there. I'll take that every time, because then he's in a position to give you 10, 12, 14 points a game and give you, maybe double-digit rebounds. Because that's what they're lacking. They got enough guys that are willing to throw it up from outside.
Yep.
They need it, they can go in there and pick up the misses.
Yeah, correct.
So, be the Phil Esposito of the Boston Celtics. Be the garbage man.
The slot man,
Phil feast it off of rebounds.
Yep.
Feast off of rebounds. just be mentally tougher than the other guys, because half the time the other team's running down the court anyway.
Exactly, and I think we've mentioned, right, guys, to me, the two best defensive players, the guys on the Celtics who are showing extra effort on defense primarily, two guys stand out in particular. One is Robert Williams, the other one is Marcus Smart. Now, if that defensive disease, or whatever you want to call it, can spread to the other players, the Celtics would be in better shape. And, you know, and this, they've won five of their last six, as you probably know, seven of their last ten. And to me, some of those wins have not been, okay, they beat the Knicks by a couple points. They beat some bad, Minnesota, they had to go to overtime to beat a team that was 13-39. To me, those weren't impressive wins, but they were wins. But yesterday, Sunday, beating a very good Denver team on the road, a Denver team that has the NBA's best record since February. They had won 17 of their last 20 going into yesterday's games, Denver had. And the Celtics beat them soundly. And they ended the game on a 40-8 run. That's a good trend if it continues. That's a good trend. And obviously, the next two games being also out west are going to be very important. Portland, Trailblazers have a good record. If they can win there, that would be another feather in their cap. And then they got the Lakers, who are still winning despite missing LeBron James and Anthony Davis from their lineup.
Yeah. I'm going to ask this question that's over the side. What is with the Marcus Smart being a burr in the saddle, Mike, of late?
What do you mean? Like in terms of what now?
There's something about his attitude, not so much to the other team, but towards his own teammates. He's just like pissing a lot of people off, it seems.
Well, that's the way he is, because he's one of the few guys, more so maybe even Coach Brad Stevens, he holds himself accountable first. That's got to be primary. You know, before you can hold your teammates accountable, he holds himself accountable. But if he gets to be a thorn in the side of his teammates, hey, I think they need that. Because you see, Jaylen Brown has admitted in post-game press conferences that his mind is drifting off at times. And he's having a great offensive season and all that. Jason Tatum, we've seen him at times be lackadaisical on the defensive end because he puts so much of his effort into the offensive end because he's averaging 25, 26 points a game. So if he wants to be the bad guy, we're talking about Marcus Smart, I'm okay with that. If he wants to be the bad guy on the team, as long as he's holding himself accountable and he gets into his teammates' face and say, hey, you got to play defense too. Because you can't have games like Minnesota where the game ends up being 145-139. You're not going to win many games that way when it gets to the playoff. And we have to remember the playoff format, right, Tim and Rick, is different this year. If the Celtics finish seventh, let's say, overall, then they have to play like the 10th seed in a one-game playoff, so to speak. They want to avoid that at all costs. They want to finish somewhere around. They're not going to catch the top three teams. So you're looking to finish fourth or fifth, or, you know, certainly fourth, so you can have home court in the first round of the playoffs. Otherwise, they're in trouble if they go to the play-in game where anything can happen in a one-game situation.
Do you see any improvement, Mike? Do you see a trend? Because to me, we're still in that 500 zone.
Yeah, you're right. But mathematically, they have won five of their last six. And like I said, I think if there's I guess we can't call it a trend yet, guys, but winning in Denver yesterday was a really positive thing because they beat a really good team that's been the hottest team in the NBA. Now, if they continue that tomorrow at Portland and then continue that Thursday at the Staples Center against the Lakers, then we might be talking about something here and something that might look good down the road as the playoffs get near. I mean, the playoffs are only a few weeks away.
Yeah.
They've only got 18, 19 games left.
Final question for me, and then I'll turn it over to Tim. Kemba Walker, we haven't even talked about him.
Right. Well, you know what? It's funny you should mention him, too, because, Rick, he's only shooting 39% for the season. That's got to be a career low. And he's shooting at 39% overall. We're talking two- and three-pointers. And he's shooting like 33 or 34% from the three-point land. And obviously we know the knees still must be troubling him because he's sitting out the back end of the back-to-back games. He's sitting out the second night of back-to-back games. So he's playing in spurts. I don't mean his effort is not in spurts. His effort is there. However, his effectiveness is only in spurts. And I think if the Celtics are going to go anywhere, They need him. And you know what? Along with that, we're forgetting that Evan Fournier, the guy they picked up at the trade deadline, he had a couple of really good games before he went out with the COVID protocol. So, you know, if he gets back into form and gets back to the team soon, you're talking about a potential 17, 18 points per game coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be a huge difference maker down the stretch and during the playoffs. So I think those two guys are really two key guys, Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker.
All right, I'm going to step away from the Celtics, Mike, and get your reaction to the Julian Edelman news.
Julian Edelman, man, I'll tell you what. I just talked to my wife about this as we watched him. They showed some highlights from his career. A phenomenal career. Not only a great player, but a great team-oriented person. Obviously, he was buddy-buddies with Tom Brady, but obviously he played his seventh-round draft pick who caught as many passes as he did in 11 or 12 years. Incredible accomplishment. And the other thing I want to catch your take on this. The catch that he made against the Atlanta Falcons,
mm-hmm.
they were coming back that with 2 inches off the ground, the amount of concentration that required and fighting three Atlanta Falcons players, to me, it's, if not the greatest catch I've ever seen in a big game, certainly it ranks up there with the top two or three catches I've ever seen from any great receiver in the history of the NFL. You just can't understate how phenomenal a catch that was, and that's going to be part of his legacy with the Patriots.
Yeah, I mentioned that right at the beginning of the show with Rick, you know, that catch will go down, you know, as one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl, but right. Just overall, I mean, like
yep.
you said, he had three defensive backs on his back, and he had the presence of mind to put his arms underneath the ball to scoop it up.
Yep.
A lot of guys would just throw their hands out and try to grab it.
Right.
He got underneath the ball, and he had little or no room to even do that.
Yeah.
But that's where his mind was. He looked kind of like a Brady. He saw the entire play. He saw what he had to do in order to make that play.
Oh, yeah, you know, and you look at his overall career, Tim, and I think Ricky would probably agree that he maxed out his ability. In other words, you know, a guy, a seventh-round pick, you know, when he came.
And he was a Division II quarterback.
Right, and you know, a Kent State quarterback. And I think even Belichick didn't know what to do with him even after he got drafted. He basically said to him, the famous quote was, "We don't know. We don't know where you're going to play, but we feel you can play." And that meant like they didn't know if he was going to be a wide receiver or a core player strictly on the special teams, you know, kickoffs and punt returns and all that. But he developed obviously into a phenomenal all around receiver. He could also block. Tremendous enthusiasm. You couldn't get a more team oriented. Yeah. The Patriots are all about team, as we know, especially after Belichick.
And
don't mess around and individualize things. And he bought into the system really early and hung in there for 11 or 12 years.
And guaranteed first down in the playoffs. Guaranteed.
No doubt about it. just an incredible all-around player and a role model for the players who came along in the draft after him. I mean, you think about it. You know, Brady was picked number 199 in the draft, and Edelman was a seventh-round pick, an undersized guy. And both of them, you know, certainly Brady's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And we know, like, Edelman will be a Patriots Hall of Famer. And who knows
right.
down the line where he fits in.
Yeah, and, you know, just the number of outstanding catches, you know, the pass he threw to Amendola against Baltimore,
yes.
that back to that win, you know, he had what you could really call a number of signature moments during
no
his
doubt.
Career with the Patriots.
No doubt. And, of course, in the you know the last Super Bowl win over the Rams, a low-scoring game, 13-3, he was the MVP of that game with, like,
yeah.
you know, 141 yards, receiving yards. So, yeah, he certainly earned his keep with the Patriots. And plus, he has such an appealing personality.
Yep.
Could you see him being an analyst on the NFL Network or the Sunday games, being an analyst in the booth? I mean, I can certainly see that. He's got a keen football mind. He's very appealing. He's articulate. I can see him having that second career as a broadcaster.
All right, I got one more for both of you guys, and that's it, because we're way over. J.D. Martinez, what a start.
Yeah, after a horrible year last year. It's great to see him getting off to a great start. And the Red Sox haven't played the best competition yet, but you know what? They've taken advantage of that competition to get off to a really good start here. Yeah, Martinez hitting three homers, hitting bombs like he did a couple of years ago. That's a heck of a good sign for them.
You know, I haven't seen him in the batter's box yet, but there was just something off with his approach at the plate last year. He was chasing a lot of balls out of the strike zone, low and away, and I'm thinking he had to have made an adjustment where he's looking more middle in this year like he did a couple of years ago when he had such a great season. He has the power to go off the plate to the opposite field, but he loves center in and turning those hips and getting those wrists around and pulling that ball. So I think, you know, maybe it's early season, a lot of, you know, younger pitchers, and they just haven't figured out how to throw it to him yet. But he's making hay with it as of now, and he's been hitting right from the beginning of the season.
Right. Well, I'll agree with all that because I know what time is short. And, Rick, the only thing we haven't discussed is UConn women's basketball. But maybe that can wait.
All right, but we've got UMass hockey.
You know, tell you what, I watched, talk about a scrappy team, right? First national championship by any UMass team since 1982 women's lacrosse, I think is what I saw.
Well, that's not true because when they were Division II football.
Division I, double A, I know
yeah,
that. I know
right.
that.
Okay.
I guess, at least according to ESPN, they didn't consider that positive.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
You're dead on about that. They did win a Division I AA football championship.
Yeah, well, because I went to UMass. I keep up with these things, Mike, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Give those guys a lot of credit. They just, was it 5 years ago, they had like four or five wins total
yep.
for the season?
Yep.
So a major turnaround. And they had four guys out with COVID for some of these tournament games. And what a phenomenal. And they just dominated that championship game Saturday. Absolutely dominated St. Cloud in that 5-0 win.
I love it. Go UMass. Maybe they'll get some football scholarships out of this publicity. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's great for the school. It's great to have a UMass team. It's the flagship.
That's right.
University. So, hey.
That's right.
Great for them, you know.
It's our state university. Mike, this is great. Tim pointed out that next Monday is Patriots Day, which I had forgotten. So I'm not sure
right.
if we're going to do Monday or not. I'll let you know.
That sounds great. I'm always available for you.
I appreciate it, Mike, and it's a blast doing this. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, guys.
Talk to you later, Mike.
Thanks.
All right. That's Mike Grenier, who is a sports writer, a sports historian, just as Gary is, and continuing to do this stuff. Tim, what's the final word?
I don't think you can afford my final words this week, Rick.
Really?
Yeah, we're over time, but I don't know if you can pay me. You know,
I
don't know if you.
I'll double. I'll pay you over. I'll pay you 2.5 what you're making.
I'll take it. I'm looking forward to going to. I just got invited during the course of the show. Buddy of mine sent me a message. He has tickets to the Patriots Day game, so I'm going to be at Fenway Park next Monday.
And it starts at 11 a.m.
Yep.
Excellent. Even though there's no marathon, the game will be starting marathon time. That's great. Tim, find that video and let me know where it is, and I'll post it as soon as I get it.
I sent it to you.
Okay. Talk to you later, Coach. Stay safe.
All right, Rick.
Thank you, Tim. All right.
Good
night. All right, that's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Newell, of course, is Mr. Everything for us. Bill Proposka is our producer and engineer that takes care. Our producer and engineer. Sounds like blah, 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 blah. That takes care of North Shore Sports Night for this Monday night. And we'll let you know. Just stay tuned. Take a look at the website, MSO News. Got MSONewsSports.com. Got a lot of interviews coming up tomorrow and the day after with Northeast Conference, Catholic Conference, and Cape Ann League football coaches in particular. And we'll continue that right on to the spring. Thank you very much for visiting our website. Appreciate that. I think I'm tired. I'm beginning to mumble and slur. That's not a good sign. Anyway, thank you for being with us. I am Rick Moore. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. This is msonewsports.com.